What's happening locally? The news.
And indeed, let us take today's look at some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. Dara Caicedo, who was found alive on Monday after being deprived of her liberty for more than a month, received medical attention while authorities continued their investigation into the case. Public Prosecutor's Office officials and national police authorities confirmed that Caicedo returned home after being released and that several lines of investigation are being pursued. Anilu Batista, Undersecretary of the Attorney General's Office, confirmed that there are arrest warrants for two people apparently linked to this incident. Batista stated that further details cannot be provided because the investigation is confidential, while reiterating the two people have been arrested. Public Prosecutor's Office personnel arrived at Caicedo's home in Vista Alegre de Arihan and confirmed that she was in good health. Caicedo was initially taken to a medical center and later to the Institute of Legal Medicine and Forensic Sciences for evaluation. The young woman was intercepted by a group of hooded and armed men last Wednesday, the 19th of February, at the door of her residence in Vista Alegre in the district of Arihan. A joint operation between officials and the public ministry and the national police dismantled an illegal mining network which was operating in the vicinity of the Panama Canal watershed. In the operation known as Caribe Verde 3, authorities located a total of 16 illegal camps that were used for illegal mining in the Cuango and Culebra River basins near the town of Santa Isabel, Colón. In the camps, which covered approximately 34 kilometres, a total of 9 motor pumps and a power plant were found, used to extract materials from rivers for the purpose of searching for gold. 5 people were also arrested, including a Colombian citizen, and they were brought before a magistrate for charges and precautionary measures. Investigations conducted by the Public Prosecutor's Office reveal that these camps could serve as resting and supply sites for drug trafficking networks. Police Director Jaime Fernandez detailed that police officers have dismantled 53 illegal mining camps through 11 operations. He also indicated that these operations have resulted in the arrest of 18 people who are currently facing legal proceedings for environmental crimes. Environment Minister Juan Carlos Navarro warned that illegal mining causes severe damage to the ecosystem, especially through river pollution. Navarro reported that sampling has been ordered from the affected rivers in order to determine if there's any contamination by mercury or other heavy metals. He also emphasized that it's illegal activity. This could cause serious damage to the Panama Canal watershed, making it necessary to take measures to prevent its spread and apply the full force of the law to those that are responsible. The operation began after Panama Canal officials, during patrols in the canal basin, detected the devastation of the waterways in Chagres National Park. Last Thursday, through Operation Piedra Amarilla, a yellow stone by the National Aeronaval Service, an illegal mining camp was dismantled in the Cocle de Norte area on the Costa Abajo coast of Colón. During the operation, 14 motor pumps, cash and small amounts of gold were found. And on January the 30th, another 10 people were apprehended by the National Border Service. This is Senafront, in the Mango River area, Paya district, in the Pinogana district, Darien province. That is, in that operation, authorities destroyed a camp and equipment used for illegal gold mining. And in the Darien region, this activity is attributed to the Gulf Clan, an organization that also promotes drug smuggling, migrant trafficking, and illegal mining in the area. Authorities have indicated that this group is responsible for financing illegal mining activities in the Darien jungle. National Assembly officials were asked for their names, IDs, positions and other information so the Comptroller General's office could conduct verifications as part of a special audit on Monday. The lawsuit initiated by the Comptroller's Office arose after a scandal involving payments to alternate deputies and other officials through the Assembly's payrolls 001 and 002, despite a Supreme Court ruling that emoluments should only be granted to alternate deputies when they occupy the seat in lieu of the principal. At the legislature, a large number of officials were seen being verified on Monday morning, while in the afternoon most were at their posts, while the Comptroller's Office staff continued with the process. The leader of the Vamos coalition, Janine Prado, stated that in the offices of the deputies of her party, there were no complaints about delays in entering or about having been exposed to the sun. However, the Comptroller's Office decision was not without criticism. National Assembly President Dana Castañeda stated on social media that legislative officials were mistreated during the verification process. Prado also emphasised the importance of the audit and requested that it be extended to other institutions. Specifically, the Vamos coalition recently expelled three alternate deputies who were receiving payments for serving as parliamentary technical assistants within the legislature. On this matter, Prado told the media that the Vamos Ethics Committee will be in charge of determining further sanctions for the substitutes who, despite Vamos expulsion, retain their positions as substitute deputies. Panamanian Foreign Minister Javier Martinez Acha will meet with the Secretary-General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, this Monday, at the International Organization's headquarters in New York in the United States. Now, the Foreign Ministry also confirmed that the Chancellor will meet with his Danish counterpart, Lars Løkke Rasmussen. No details of the meeting's agenda were given. The bilateral meeting between Panama and the United States takes place with the framework of Martin Acha's intervention in a United Nations Security Council debate on the adaptability and future of U.S. peacekeeping operations. During his remarks, Martinez Acha emphasized the importance of UN missions around the world, ensuring territorial integrity and sovereignty, in accordance with the principles of the United Nations Charter. The Chancellor added, "We are committed to defending the order that we have built together, whose guiding principles must always be the pursuit of common good, with respect for the adherence to the principles of international and humanitarian law." Martinez Acha's participation in the Security Council debate comes amid diplomatic tension fueled by the administration of U.S. President Donald Trump, who has threatened to reclaim the Panama Canal for the U.S. The Chancellor was accompanied in New York by senior Panamanian diplomats, including Eloy Alfaro, Panama's ambassador to the U.N., and José Miguel Alemán, Panama's ambassador to Washington. The Ministry of Health, MINSA, through its epidemiological department, reported that as of epidemiological week 11, that's March the 9th to the 15th, a total of 243 cases of the Oropouche virus have been confirmed in the Darien and eastern Panama regions. Darien has the highest number of infections with 224 cases, while 19 have been reported in eastern Panama. In epidemiological week 10, that's the 2nd to the 8th of March, a total of 230 cumulative cases were recorded in these regions, indicating an increase in infections. The affected districts and townships include Pinogana with 151 cases, Santa Fe with 45, Semaco with 15, Chepigana with 13, Chepo with 18, and Pacora with 1 case. Additionally, one death remains in epidemiological week 9, that was February 24th to the 28th. The victim, an 82-year-old man with a history of high blood pressure and diabetes mellitus, presented symptoms of neurological deterioration and was hospitalized with an initial diagnosis of neuroinfection. Subsequently, a cerebrospinal fluid analysis confirmed the Oropouche virus infection. According to the epidemiological investigation, the location of cases is determined by the place of infection. In this context, a case of acute neurological febrile syndrome initially reported in the metropolitan region was reassigned to East Panama. The highest number of infections has been reported in people aged 35 to 49, with 56 cases, of which 30 are men and 29 are women. In response to the increase in cases, the Ministry of Health has strengthened epidemiological surveillance and is urging the population to use insect repellents, mosquito nets, long-sleeve clothing, and to eliminate weeds and stagnant water to reduce the spread of vectors. Oropoche fever is a febrile infection caused by the bite of the Culicoides, known as midges, and Culex insects, which live in jungle areas. Its symptoms are similar to those of dengue fever, which include high fever, severe headaches, muscle and joint pain, nausea, vomiting, chills, and general malaise. These signs usually appear between 3 and 8 days after the bite and may recur after apparent recovery. Now, currently, there are no vaccines or specific antiviral treatments for the disease, so management is symptomatic, focusing on pain relief and rehydration. The Ministry of Health recommends that people go to health centres if they experience fever and severe headaches. You can't hide the sun with a finger, nor can a hand obscure the present that Jose Cordoba is experiencing at just the age of 23. The Panamanian defender, trained at Cai La Chorrera, is going through right now a difficult week following the penalty that condemned the Panama national team to the runner-up spot in the CONCACAF Nations League. Cordoba, who plays for Norwich City in England, confessed 10 days ago that he dreamed and longed to win the Final Four with the Panamanian national team. However, his infraction prevented overtime at the SoFi Stadium in Inglewood in California. The match against Mexico ended in a 2-1 defeat for Panama, with Raul Jimenez scoring twice, including the penalty awarded for Cordoba's handball. Adalberto Carrasquilla made it 1-1, and that was Panama's first goal, believe it or not, in a CONCACAF tournament final, having played 3 previous finals without scoring. Cordoba, sadly, has been the target of heavy criticism on social media, where fans have unleashed a wave of negative comments against him. He has even been accused of bribery without foundation. However, the young defender is not the first to face this type of situation. Before him, players such as Cecilia Waterman, Gabriel Gomez, Anibal Godoy, Valentin Pimentel, Harold Cummings and Jose Fajardo have also been singled out for actions in matches that resulted in Panamanian defeats. Faced with a barrage of criticism, Cordoba opted to disable comments on his Instagram account on Monday. The confusion over his identity also reached Omar Cordoba, a footballer from Plaza Amador, who received an avalanche of messages from fans who thought he was the Norwich defender. "It's incredible how many messages I've received on live television thinking I'm Jose Cordoba," he commented. "But beyond that, seeing people treat each other with disrespect is unconscionable. Let's remember that we're all Panamanian." For his part, Panamanian national team coach Thomas Christiansen expressed his support for Cordoba, stating that the action was accidental and that the player is visibly affected. "He's hurt. But these are also the times when people look for someone to blame. I didn't mean to touch it. It was bad luck, and it can happen to anyone," he declared. "He's a player with a lot of character, and we're not going to knock him down. We're going to support him and lift him up, because it's absolutely necessary." Now that's a coach. And that's it. There's our look for this morning. There's some of the items in the local news for you compiled for today's programme.